putting it in all our meeting.
I don't know.
Good now.
Check it out. Okay. All right. Well, why don't we go ahead and we'll start out. Don, if you'd lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
Absolutely. I pledge allegiance to the flag
to the flag
of the United States of
America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That was kind of weird, too.
That was creepy.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
All right. Morning.
Morning, Chair. If you'd like me to start, I can do a roll call just with the board since we're doing this in a virtual format.
You got it.
All right. Thank you
very much.
Captain Bischoff is here in the room. Sheriff Daniels, are you on?
Yes. Good morning, everyone.
Morning, sir. Miss Kelly, are you on?
Yes, I am.
Mr. Johnson, were you able to connect? I know he's going to join us, but he might just take a few more minutes to connect. Mr. Lefevre, are you on?
Present.
Chairman Masher's here.
Yeah, I'm on.
Who was that? Who was the last one that spoke?
John Johnson is on the line.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson. Thank you.
Good morning.
Officer Medina, are you with us?
I'm here. Good morning.
Good morning. Deputy Director Hunter, are you with us?
I'm here.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Chief Rodwell's in the room. Miss Weiss, are you with us? Miss Weiss, are you on? Director Shin, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. And then Chief Kelly will be absent, and Deputy Pittman will be absent as well. And then we'll just wait to see if Ms. Weiss connects with us at a later time, but we do have a quorum.
Okay.
And, sir, if you'd like, I can go right into my
announcements.
Just a few introductions. Ann Froge from the Attorney General's Office will be your advisor on our final action cases. Ms. Froge, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Good morning. Thank you for being here.
Good morning.
I want to introduce a new board member, Mr. Johnson. You heard him connect a minute ago. He will be our new representative, John Johnson, from the Attorney General's Office. Mr. Johnson, anything you'd like to say this morning?
No, sir. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
We're honored to have you, sir. If you look at your books and your agenda, we're going to need to pull item L. It's a petition for the Sedona Police Department. New information came out that made that petition unattainable. So they're going in a different direction, but we just need to pull that from the agenda for today. Okay. And unless there's any questions, Sheriff, I can move on to my executive director's report.
Questions, comments from anyone? Okay, please do, Matt.
All right, just some budget discussions. Our CGF funding, although we anticipated some declines, we had one low month, but other than the last 2 months, we have either met or exceeded our expectations. So knock on wood, we're in good financial position now, and we're moving through it. I just submitted our appropriated funding request for fiscal year 22. It's due by the end of the month to be submitted in the big state package, and we'll be asking again for the appropriated funding. And as you know, the appropriated funding is what we use for academy reimbursements. So we had gotten it the last 2 years. It was in the governor's proposed budget for fiscal year 21 that we're going into, or that we're in. However, when the legislature adjourned early, they created a skinny budget, which removed our appropriated funding. So I'm confident, I'm hopeful, that we will get it again, appropriated funding in fiscal year 22, and that will allow us to continue our operations. Should we not, we'll have to reevaluate the way we do academy reimbursements. But again, we won't have any of that information until next year during the legislative session when the budget goes before the legislature. So I just wanted to give you an update on that. I'll keep you updated with CGF funding as we go along.
Thank you.
Everyone somewhat anticipates declines, but we just haven't seen that yet, which is, again, is good for us. Moving on, I have new staff members. If I could get the three of you to come up here so I could introduce each one of you, that'd be wonderful. really excited. We've made a lot of changes at Arizona Post Staffing. We're not creating new positions. I don't want to give anyone the impression that we're doing that. We've had unallocated positions that we're just filling now. We've had some people moved around. So, again, we're really excited. So I'll start from your right to left. Aaron Thomas is a retired commander from the city of Phoenix. He's joining us on our training team. He's going to be working closely with Lori Waite. I love the wave. He's going to be working with Lori Waite on our basic academy curriculum updates. Eventually, we'll be doing academy inspections. So Aaron brings a wealth of experience, a wealth of different instructor certifications, and we're really excited to have him. He's in week three, so clearly we're doing something right because he keeps coming back. So we're happy. Jen LaRock, also a retired Phoenix PD commander. You might see a theme here. But Jennifer is actually our new assigned assistant attorney general. She was a legal advisor for the city of Phoenix. She retired from Phoenix as the basic academy commander. So she has a wealth of knowledge in what we do here. Plus, she's an attorney, and she's going to be handling all of our cases. Mark will still remain our in-house counsel, but Jennifer will be handling all of our compliance cases. Again, she knows the business. She's got a wealth of experience. We're really excited to have her on board. She started last week or 2 weeks ago?
Last week.
Again, the theme of commander, Ron Bain on her left, a retired commander from the city of Scottsdale. For the last, Ron, correct me, how many years now with FBI lead? He's been teaching all over the country. Everywhere I go and everyone I've talked to has ever taken a LEADA class, and Ron swears he's the best instructor they've ever had. So we're really excited to have him. He is going to lead and direct, under Mandy Faust's guidance, our advanced leadership stuff. He's going to rework our advanced leadership program, our basic supervision curriculum, as well as our FTO program. And then on top of that, he's going to be teaching those classes for us. So again, I was looking for people who have credibility, that when you put them in front of a room full of police executives and police leaders, they have that credibility. And the two on the ends fit that bill, and Jennifer's going to be a wonderful resource to us handling our cases, because, again, we talked about it repeatedly. Those cases, our timelines need to be met. We need to make sure we're moving those cases forward, and I'm really excited to have Jennifer on board to do that. So, again, I really am happy with the way we're going. Mandy Faust is building an incredible training team, because, as you know, when the budget went down in 2010-ish, we cut out almost all of our advanced training, and that's to the detriment of Arizona law enforcement. So I'm glad we're in a position. I'm glad you've given me the support to provide additional training. It's needed around the state, and that's what we're going to do. These folks are going to be creating curriculum that we'll host in the four corners of the state so we can get that training, much-needed training, out to Arizona law enforcement. So, again, very excited to have them on board. I think we're really moving in the right direction, and we appreciate all of your support.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Welcome.
Welcome. In addition to these three, as you know, we'll bring out another person in the end of right after Labor Day, a gentleman by the name of Mike Giamarino. He's a retired lieutenant from the city of Phoenix. His background is in auditing. We are going to really take a close look at our auditing process. So he'll be working directly for Ben Henry. He'll be handling the facility as well as auditing public records requests and things of that nature to make sure we're in compliance. But again, I'm really excited with the team we're building. We had a great staff already, and now we're just supplementing an already wonderful staff. So
great.
We're moving in the right direction. Moving on, Hop Bowie, one of the gentlemen in our, he was our personal data specialist, computer specialist. He retired. He was nice enough to stay on while Dan Wilson got acclimated to our chief technology officer position. He helped with our new technology upgrades. He was very instrumental with Dan and Dale on the video productions. But after, 14 years here, 16 years here, he decided he wanted to spend some time with his family, and he went happily off into retirement. So we've done some internal shuffling. We're actually going to move Cindy Sawyer from the training side over to work with Dan Wilson in our technology section, because she understands the business practices of what we do. Dan is an amazing person on the technology side. Cindy will compliment him with working through how our process works so we create the right systems, because, again, we have our personal history form that's coming out, and then we're going to also go into next year we'll be updating how we audit police training records and police training compliance with the statutes. Again, some current staff reassignments. Excuse me, Mike Oroz is now our interim compliance manager. He's overseeing that. Mike's been doing a great job getting the team together. Mike was a compliance specialist. He's a retired major from the Department of Public Safety. And again, he's really been good about communicating, understanding the cases, and giving guidance to the compliance specialists. And then I already mentioned Cindy Sawyer going over to IT. And just kind of piggybacking on some of these things, the personal history form. As you all know, currently you can download a form from our website, you fill it out, and you turn it into the agency that you're applying for. We're changing the way we do business. Dan Wilson has created an online platform for the personal history form. Before you, almost every month, we give you a case where someone filled out a plethora of personal history forms, and the information was different on every single one of them. This system now is going to, our applicants will go into our portal, create a personal history form that'll be, it's all digital, then they will give permissions to whatever agency they're applying for. That agency then will be able to go in with that permission through our system and download that personal history form. Our system will track any changes, any inconsistencies, and we will be able to document those. So if you want to go in, and I'll give you an example, most times it's drug use. We'll have an applicant that applies somewhere, puts down 10 uses, doesn't get hired, and then goes somewhere else and puts down 2 uses. This system will track any of those changes. You will not be able to make those changes without us knowing about it. We're currently demoing it. We put out a soft launch to Glendale PD and Scottsdale PD, who are getting ready to use it. We had them go in, create accounts to make sure there was no issues. They're our beta test. We had a background investigators meeting yesterday where we unveiled that, and hopefully in the next couple months we'll be going live statewide, and every personal history form will be done through our portal. Again, we're just upgrading technology. We're leveraging technology to make it more efficient and hopefully reduce those cases down the road where someone has different information on multiple personal history forms. Again, exciting stuff. Dan Wilson's been doing a wonderful job. The staff here were to critique. They would go through. They would enter information to find issues. So, again, it's a collaborative effort, and I'm really excited about where we're going with that. Moving on, comprehensive final exam. I've talked about that before. We now, at all 14 statewide academies, we don't have to go out there and issue them a Scantron form. They can do it online. At the direction of usually their class sergeant or their RTOs. We've done that. All the academies are on board. We're no longer doing the paper Scantrons. We've also moved it into your waiver candidates. So your people that lateral from out of state or Arizona state people who have had their certification lapse, they used to have to go take the test and come down to our office. That's no longer the case. We can now do that remotely as well. And we're actually going to do, in the next couple weeks, we'll be doing one for the Colorado City Marshal's Office. They have 4 lateral applicants. Historically, that would be a day of travel here, a night in a hotel, the test, a day of travel, maybe 2 nights in a hotel, and then travel back. We'll be able to do that remotely. It's so much more efficient for our staff and incredibly more efficient for the Colorado City Marshal's Office. So once that goes successfully, which we're very confident it will, we'll be able to roll that out statewide. So, again, we have people drive up from Yuma, stay in a hotel. It's going to just be that much more effective. Again, one more time, we're just leveraging technology to make us more efficient and provide a better level of customer service to the 159 agencies that we serve. So I'm excited about that. Just a couple more updates, and I apologize, there's a lot of information, but the job task analysis, I've talked about that before. We had commissioned back prior to my arrival. What are the basic skills a peace officer needs? How does it match up with our curriculum? Mandy Faust and her team have been going through that. They have met with all the subject matter expert groups, and they're working on updates to the lesson plans. Again, lesson plan updates take a long time. We want to make sure we're giving the right information. We're hoping to have all those lesson plans updated by the end of calendar year 20. I know it's a big ask, but Mandy's really driving the train, and her team's doing a wonderful job. In conjunction with that, last week, and most of you know, we hosted a DT symposium down at the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office. We brought all the DT SMEs from around the state together. They did demonstrations. They did curriculum review. On the last day, Aaron and Lori sat with them while they gave updates on what they wanted to change in the curriculum. It's currently 40 hours. We're working on, it's probably going to look more like 80 hours in the basic academy moving forward. Because, again, it's a high liability, high issue. We want to make sure our officers that we're putting out there are trained to the highest degree that we can. So, again, we're working through that. But if you saw the article in the paper, it was very well received. And, again, the group did a wonderful job getting together. Because, again, you have a lot of different philosophies. We want to make sure that we got a consensus from that group because they are the experts. And so we're moving that forward. The last thing I want to talk about on curriculum updates is community and police engagement. We're working on those lesson plans as well. And for the first time in Arizona Post history, we actually reached out to the community, and we're bringing in community members to sit with our representatives around the state. We also reached out to people all around the state to bring in their community action officers to sit down and discuss what does that what should that curriculum look like that we teach to our basic recruits in the basic academy curriculum. So again, we've never done that. We've never included the community, but I thought it was really important to do that to make sure we hear a voice from the community. And again, I always use the term we police to their expectations, and no better way to do that than hear it from them firsthand what they would expect an officer to learn in the academy and how to interact with the community effectively. So I'm excited about that, and again, that'll be part of the curriculum rewrite. Hopefully, that's done by the end of the year. A rulemaking project updates. We had our, as you know, you gave us the authority to move forward, request those rulemaking. We had our public, we had a post on our website. We had a public comment last week. We had one or two comments that we're going to upload, and then that has been uploaded to the governor's regulatory review council, and they'll have that on their October meeting. And if it's approved by them, then it'll go into effect. The non-qualification items that we're changing will go into effect early December. The qualification issues, the drug use, that takes longer. That will go into effect till April if it's approved through the governor's council. All things show us that it's progressing nicely through the system. We've had no pushback, no issues. So those are exciting changes that the board has supported. I think it'll make us, again, more effective moving into 2021. Use of force project. I will agendize this for next month's meeting so we can actually have a discussion on it. But as you know, we're starting a use of force tracking program. I just want to get an idea of what it looks like. So we are currently requesting from agencies to provide us all their sustained violations of their use of force policies. And we're going to do a six-month pilot program and see what that looks like. And then we'll look to maybe make some changes into mandatory reporting to Arizona Post in calendar year 21. But again, I'll agendize that next month so we can actually have a discussion about it, because by then I should have some data that I can present to you, and we can get some ideas of where you'd like us to take that project. But again, I'll agendize that next month. And then the last thing I want to talk about is training. If you go on our website, we now have a thing referenced distance learning, and Mandy and her team are working with third-party vendors so they can host training. We have an attestation where they have to attest to how they'll put on the training, how they'll monitor attendance, because, again, we all recognize that through COVID, in-person training is very difficult. And we want to make sure that no agencies are caught short at the end of the year without being able to get their 8 hours of continuing training credit hours. So, again, we're working with third-party vendors. We have almost 200 classes now that are approved for Arizona Post continuing credit, and that's Mandy's team having to go through the instructor bios, course overviews, and making sure it somehow ties back to our basic training principles. So, again, that's something new we're doing, and it's all on our website. We've pushed that out to your background investigators. We've pushed it out to your agency training coordinators as well to make sure that they know that's an available resource. And I already talked about advanced officer training, but Ron and we're looking to find someone else to help him bring them on board. They'll be, again, redoing the ALP, the Advanced Leadership, Basic Supervision, the FTO program. So, you know, a lot of information. I talked very fast because I know we have a full agenda, but I wanted to make sure you were updated on everything we're doing. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Chair, I have a question. So Matt, I think we started down the rules changes or recommended changes road. The referendum had not had enough signatures. Am I understanding the referendum on marijuana has enough signatures to be on the ballot? Is that true?
I think I did read that article, yes.
So I do believe that's true, but keeping that in mind, could we ask council to look at the referendum and the components of the referendum and compare it to what we recommended? I do think there may be some nuances there that may be either in conflict or we may have to revisit that. I'm just not sure. I printed it up. I haven't had a chance to digest the whole thing.
And I'll let Mark jump in if he thinks I'm straying off point here, but I believe regardless of whether marijuana becomes legal recreationally in Arizona, our rules will still stand as you authorized us to push forward. It would still restrict any use of marijuana 2 years prior to application. Mark, am I wrong there?
Thank you. The director is correct, and the issue regarding marijuana involves the federal law, and you know, the United States Congress passed legislation, and it requires non-marijuana users can possess firearms, but marijuana users, particularly those with marijuana cards, cannot possess firearms. So there's the federal overlay. That's the issue here.
Thank you. Thank you both.
Any other questions from the board?
Comments, questions from the board? Just one for me, Matt. First off, great job with the technology. I think that's fantastic. I've heard good things from some of my staff up at the academy there. And as we move ahead with this use of force documentation or whatever ASPOS is looking at, is that somehow drawing in Brady issues as well? Is that kind of stepping into, you see what I'm saying?
I am.
So how would that tie into it? And it's just kind of curious.
As you know, the only thing agencies are required to report to us, is when someone separates employment. So what I found when I got, what I found when I got here is there's disparate treatment. So if someone does something in one agency and they get terminated, then the agency is required to report to us that termination, the separation, and then mark the misconduct box. That's why that person left for the misconduct. However, if someone does that same act in another jurisdiction, maybe in someplace out there in the state, and they're not separated from employment, there's no requirement currently to report that to us. So what we're looking to do is create consistency. The board is routinely, and I agree with you 100%, is we need consistency. We need to be looking at cases consistently. And this would allow us, and that's why I'm taking a look at the use of force, sustained violations of use of force policy, as a stepping stone on how we create that consistency. So I did have a reporter ask me not too long ago is if all Brady issues should be reported to the board. And that's something for a future discussion, if we should maybe go down that road as well. I just wanted to start with use of force reporting and see how that looks and see if that's the way the board wants to go on, because if you look in Title 41 in Arizona Revised Statutes, it does discuss what are mandatory things you have to report to Arizona Post, and this is something I would maybe look to do in, down the road with use of force reporting on not all use of forces, but use of force where use of force is found to be out of departmental policy. But again, yeah, we can explore the Brady issues as well.
Well, I just mentioned because I thought it would come up during that, so that's the only reason I mentioned it.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you very
much. Absolutely can explore that, too. And we are thinking about that. We're discussing it, but we want to start with use of force.
Sure.
First.
Absolutely. Anything else from anyone?
Mr. Chairman, this is Andy.
Hey, Andy. Go right ahead, please.
Yeah. Good morning, everybody. Yeah, Matt, that would have been my question around use of force is, you know, if it's not mandated, you know, you have no teeth isn't the right word, but, you know, if somebody doesn't want to report that and you think it's important, that may be something that would need to be added legislatively.
No, Andy, and you're exactly right. And what I did was I asked 20 agencies around the state to voluntarily provide me with that information, again, knowing that we have no teeth in that. But, again, I got overwhelming responses of support and they agreed to participate in our program. So, no, we're moving in the right direction, but I fully recognize that if we did decide to move forward on this statewide, it would have to be legislatively changed to make that a mandatory reporting.
The only other thing I would say, Matt and Mr. Chairman, sorry for not going through you, would be, you know, with NIBRS coming online, I don't know if that creates a more streamlined way that you could get that information. Since I would assume, since that is an incident-based reporting system, that would be captured in the NIBRS system directly.
Yeah, Andy, it would. The thing is, though, the caveat is we're trying to keep it on sustained violations of use of force policy, not just all use of force, because we would not have the staff right currently to look at all use of force. So NIBRS would just tell you it was a use of force. We would need their internal affairs or their professional standards bureau to say that it was an out of policy and have a sustained violation before we would want it to come to Arizona Post. But no, we can definitely things we can explore.
Gotcha. And then just so you know, we are the agency that has to collect deaths in custody reporting for the state that goes to the Fed. So if there's something that we can do to coordinate with that and whatnot, we're happy to do that.
That would be great. Thanks, Andy.
Anyone else? Comments, questions from the board?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, this is Ken Hunter. I just wanted to throw something out there as well.
Please.
We just had a situation where we had a shooting and the criminal report was released to the media as it should have been, but then asked for our internal affairs investigation. And that brings up to what the chair said about Garrity. We refused to give that to him because we come in and we interview our folks and say none of this can be used against you criminally, and then you sit there and release it out to the public into the fest, well, then it's going to have that effect. So that's just another, I think we need to be cognizant of in reporting, and Garrity and Brady and all that. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Sure. The other thing you look at is the body camera footage on some of these as well. And, you know, when do you disclose that, evidentiary-wise, or is it, you know, defeats the purpose of having it? You want to give it out there sooner than later. And, but anyway, anything else from anyone on this topic? All right. That concludes your executive.
Can I just check? Ms. Weiss, were you able to join us? Okay.
All right.
We still have plenty for a quorum.
Okay, we got it. We're going to move next to the consent agenda, which calls for a motion. I think the board's had an opportunity to look through that. Comments and questions before I ask for a motion on our consent agenda. Having none, may I have a motion for our consent agenda?
Mr. Chairman, this is Andrew Lefevre. I move that we accept the consent agenda.
Alan Rodwell seconds.
I have a motion and a second. Further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? And our motion carries. And
Mr. Chairman, can I interject just for one moment on the consent agenda? I just want to let everyone know on the training audit deficiencies for, if you notice, you have five officers from San Carlos Tribal Police.
Okay.
I reached out to the chief 2 weeks ago, have not heard back. But as you know, with the approval of this consent agenda and their training audit deficiencies, they will not be able to take law enforcement action until they have these training deficiencies resolved. So we are working with them. We were working with them. I just haven't heard back from the chief because we always like to try to get these resolved before take. This is a drastic action for us. We don't like to do this. But, again, I just wanted to let you know we made every attempt to resolve these matters, and we just were met with a little bit of resistance, and just we weren't able to get them in compliance prior to today's meeting. So I just wanted to give you just a heads up on that.
I have a question. Are we or are they indicating they're kind of following the Navajo Nation, kind of doing their own thing so far as the training and state certification? Do you have any indication of that?
No, none at all. Okay. We have not gotten any indication.
Okay. Thank you very much. Anything else from board members or anyone on that consent? All right, the motion carries, and we are going to move next into the waivers. And we will start with E, Mr. Brachtel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Mark Brachtel on behalf of Arizona Post. Agenda item E and F are similar, so I'm going to talk about both at the same time, Mr. Chairman. They both involve a request for a restricted officer certification. They're both filed by the same agency, the Securities Division of the Arizona Corporation Commission, and the petitioner agency head will be presenting on both of those shortly. In both cases, each applicant is retired. Each applicant passed all aspects of the waiver process except for the POPAT test. The authority for the board to grant a restricted certification is under Rule 103G. Is it in the best interest of law enforcement, and is the public welfare and safety not jeopardized? The agency, in each packet, the agency describes the work limitations which will be placed on each candidate if they are granted a restricted certification. I believe that there's an XO from the agency who is ready to present the petitions.
Certainly. Any comments or questions for Mr. Brachtel on this? Okay, thank you very much. We can move ahead with that agency representative.
Yes, this is Gary Clapper. I'm the chief investigator with the Securities Division. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, both on Investigator Jones and Investigator Hinchy, they have both displayed a very high ethics and professionalism for the job, both with the Securities Division and in performing law enforcement tasks at their prior agencies. How this assists our division is we deal with other law enforcement agencies, both nationally, and prosecutors, and in the exchange of information with those agencies. Also, we deal with the Department of Justice when we have to pursue matters internationally, which does happen from time to time as we deal with securities fraud that knows no boundaries. This would be a great asset to the division and the credibility and professionalism both in the investigation and in the prosecution is very much needed with the agency.
Thank you, sir. Is there any comments or questions?
Chair, I have a question.
Yes.
Spractel, do you need a single motion with both names, or do you need two separate motions?
You read my mind, Chief. I would request two separate motions, one for each candidate.
Okay, thank you. I'm prepared to make a motion, Mr. Chair, when you're ready.
Yes, sir. I'm ready to make a motion, sir.
Alan Rodbell moves that based upon the information submitted by the Securities Division, the Arizona Corporation Commission, and pursuant to Rule 13-4-103-G, I move that the board grant a restricted peace officer certification to applicant Margaret Meg Hinchley.
Don Bischoff, second.
I have a motion and a second. Further discussion on the motion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? And the motion carries. We'll move down to F. May I have a motion on Bruce Jones?
Mr. Chair, I'm prepared to make a motion.
Please.
Alan Rodbell, based upon the information submitted by the Securities Division of the Arizona Corporation Commission and pursuant to Rule 13-4-103-G, I move that the board grant a restricted peace officer certification to applicant Bruce Jones.
Don Bischoff, second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion on the motion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 And opposed? Our motion carries. We're going to be moving on to waiver G. Mr. Brackton.
Thank you. This is a petition by the Salt River Police Department. On applicant Mr. Ramirez, during the hiring process, he disclosed that in 2015, when he was 19 years old, he consumed one Adderall tablet. He does not meet the current qualifications because that Adderall tablet was consumed within the last 7 years. The petition is submitted correctly under Rule 103G. In your board communication is some more information for you. And I believe that there is a XO from the agency who's prepared to speak.
Thank you. Agency representative here today?
Yes, good morning.
Morning.
My name is Alejandro McDaniel, one of the lieutenants at Salt River Police Department over our hiring administration. Also present with me is Detective Adrio Pineda. He is our hiring investigator.
Good morning.
Please go right ahead.
Sure. Yeah, we'd like to ask the board to please take in consideration Jose Ramirez. Obviously, Detective Pineda did a thorough background investigation on him, and we did overlook that issue with the Adderall. Other than that, though, however, we determined that he was an excellent recruit, and there was some delay in the audit process that obviously brought this to discovery. But we did hire him in June 1st, and he did start the MCSO Academy, which he is currently in. He's in his 12th week, Class 150, and we've spoken to his RTOs and obviously keep tabs on him, and they've nothing but glowing remarks on him. He says he's a great recruit, and they're more than willing to answer any questions in regards to him, which is pretty much our consensus in regards to him when we hired him. Jose comes from humbly beginnings. He is locally here from Phoenix. He has a troubled background, obviously, with his parents having some criminal issues. But even through that, he stayed in the straight path by grace and hard work and commitment and dedication. He actually enlisted in the Army Reserves right out of high school in 2014, which he is currently enlisted. He's always had aspirations of becoming an officer. And he was referred to us actually by one of our current officers who also served with him in the military. Also raving remarks about, in reference to him. During our interviews and investigation, he was upfront with everything, And he just portrayed excellent character, determination, and commitment. His background is fairly clean, other than the obviously the Adderall use and some experimental marijuana use. But he has no police contacts, which is remarkable, taking consideration the background that he came from. Everybody we've spoken to in regards to his references, great remarks in reference to his character, humility, work ethic. He's just a good individual that we believe will be a very good police officer, which I think everybody can understand during these difficult times. It's getting more and more difficult to find good people to do this job, and when you find a good one, you want to hang on to them. So with this in consideration, we're petition Mr. Chairman and the board to please make this exception for Mr. Jose Ramirez.
Thank you, sir. Questions, comments from the board? Having none, may I have a motion, please?
Mr. Chair, I'm prepared to make a motion.
Chief Rodbell?
Based upon the information submitted by Salt River Pima Maricopa Indian Community Police Department and pursuant to Rule 13-4-103G, I move that the board grant the request for waiver and applicant Jose Ramirez.
Bishop, second.
Motion, second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
And the motion carries. Thank you very much. We're going to move on to H, Mr. Brachtel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You. This is a petition from the Arizona State University Police Department on applicant Ms. Stevens. She consumed marijuana in college in 2011 to 2012, approximately 45 times. She was under 21 years of age at the time. By your rules, it is presumed that her marijuana use was not for experimentation. However, under Rule 105C, an agency may submit a petition, and that has occurred in this case. I believe that there is a representative, an XO, from the agency who is present.
Okay, thank you. And that representative?
Yeah, this is Chief Michael Thompson with the ASU Police Department.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. On behalf of Arizona State University Police Department, Mr. Chair and Board, we are petitioning to allow Amanda Stevens to be hired and take a waiver exam here at Arizona State University through Arizona Post. She admitted through her polygraph examination that she did not know exactly how many times that she had smoked marijuana. She was before the age of 21. She would go to parties. She said it would be a few puffs and then that would be the end of it. And so when she was giving the number of times, she was just giving how many weekends were in a year, dividing that by half and timesing it times a year and a half. So she was just giving us a random number that she felt, trying to be transparent as possible as to how many times she possibly had done that. She's never been involved in using the marijuana in any way, inside baked goods or selling them or police involvement, you know, being arrested for it or anything like that. She was a police officer at a university in Texas for several years before moving here to Arizona, and she currently works here at ASU. She has not used marijuana since just after less than five times after she was 21, because at that time she was working at a job where they were doing drug testing, and then she was also preparing to go into the Marine Corps, but due to an illness that her mother had come down with, she opted not to join the military to try to take care of her mother. And so she will be 29 in November, and we feel that she would be a good asset to the Arizona State University Police Department, and we're asking to grant this petition for hiring and employment.
Thank you, sir. Any questions, comments from the board? May I have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I'm prepared to make a motion.
Chief Rodbell?
Based upon the information submitted by Arizona State University Police Department pursuant to Rule 13-4-105C, I move the board grant the request for a waiver on applicant Amanda Stevens.
Don Bischoff, second.
I have a motion and a second. Further discussion on the motion? Having none, all those in favor?
Aye.
And those opposed. And the motion carries. Thank you, Chief. We're going to move on to the next.
Aaron Ward, thank you.
Mr. Brachtel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Agenda item I. This is a petition by the Kingman Police Department regarding applicant Ms. Hinkle. During a hiring process, she disclosed that she consumed one edible marijuana product, a cookie, in November 2017 when she was 17 years old. That consumption is within the past 7 years, so it does not satisfy that minimum qualification for hiring. The petition should be analyzed under 103G, what is in the best interest of law enforcement profession, and is the public welfare and safety not jeopardized? I believe that there is an XO from the agency who is present.
Thank you, sir. Is there an agency representative present? I think you got to hit mute there.
Rusty Cooper, Chief of Police, King.
Good morning, sir. Please go right ahead, Chief.
Thank you. We have Mrs. Hinkle as an applicant. We're very confident in presenting her to you and requesting this waiver. Ms. Hinkle did self-report a one-time marijuana usage in the form of a cookie when she was in high school. We have every confidence through our background, through our polygraph process, that there are no other issues or concerns with her since then. Everything through our background process, which has been very comprehensive to this point, has confirmed her report of that. Since that time, Ms. Hinkle has obtained a college degree, an AA, and a bachelor's degree. There are no other reported drug usage during that time at all. Like I said before, we have every confidence in Mrs. Hinkle. She's a very good applicant for us. We've been working with her. She's been very candid and forthright and honest in her report. So we're asking that the panel would grant us this waiver on Ms. Hinkle.
Thank you, Chief. Any questions, comments from any board members? Having none, may I have a motion on Ms. Hinkle?
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion. Don Bischoff, based upon information submitted by the Kingman Police Department pursuant to Rule 13-4-103G, I move that the board grant the request for waiver on applicant Grace Hinkle.
Thank you. May I have a second?
Alan Rodwell seconds.
Motion and a second. Any discussion on the motion? And those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And the motion carries. Thank you, Chief. Have a good day.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Board, thank you.
And we're going to move on to J. Mr. Brachtel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a petition by the Arizona Game and Fish Department on applicant Mr. Stasky. In July 2013, he was gifted a baggie of marijuana for his 18th birthday. He then sold the baggie to a friend. That violates a minimum qualification standard under Rule 105A9. Nonetheless, there is a petition. The analysis will proceed under Rule 103G. And I believe that there is an executive officer from Game and Fish Department who is present.
Thank you. Game and Fish present?
Yes, sir. Good morning. Good morning. This is Major Laney Aspect with the Arizona Game and Fish Department.
Good morning.
Good morning. We also have Chief Gene Elms with the Arizona Game and Fish Department present with us as well.
How you doing, sir?
Good morning.
Yes, please go right ahead.
Thank you. So, Director Giordano, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, we are requesting the petition for Ryan Stasky. He has proven to be an exceptional candidate for us. Mr. Stasky received his Bachelor of Science degree in biology from NAU. And he is currently pursuing his master's degree in integrated natural resources. He's a certified EMT and just all-around good, exceptional candidate. Mr. Stasky did admit and was very transparent and forthcoming in his background investigation with me that he received a bag of marijuana as a gift for his 18th birthday. He did not want to smoke the bag of marijuana, and a friend that he thought might want it, so he did call that friend. He could not remember if the friend requested the money or if he asked for the money, but either way, he admitted that he did receive $20 compensation for that bag of marijuana. Other than that, there were no other issues that were found in Mr. Stasky's background. Since 2015, he's been working for government or state and federal agencies, including Arizona Game and Fish Department. He has completed 2 internships with us and has worked for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the U.S. Forest Service. Mr. Stasky is currently at the Saletsi Police Academy. He's been there for 3 weeks and is proving to be an exceptional recruit. He's one of the top recruits physically and is excelling academically as well. The staff is willing to vouch for him. They say he's one of their top recruits in this class. So we are requesting the petition for Mr. Stasky. He's proven himself to us, and we're hopeful that we can retain him at the academy and push him forward as an employee and an officer with our department. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Any questions or comments? Yes, sir.
I just want to state the obvious for the record. My understanding is this is not going to change with our requested rules changes. So this is truly the first real waiver that we're looking at in terms of this would be a waiver of our actual current and future rules, correct?
That is correct, sir. Okay.
And so does this identify a need for us to address the issue of sale, purpose of sale? I noticed in the write-up you give us several different kinds of reasons people sell, whether dealers or whether it just have to do something like this. So you're differentiating between the two levels, but we don't do that in any of our policies, correct?
That is correct, and obviously we'll follow the board's direction. My recommendation would be to leave the rule as is and take these on a case-by-case basis because normally the fact patterns are always different to some degree or another. So I would prefer to do it this way, but if the board would like us to reevaluate that rule related to sales, we'd be happy to look into that.
You'd have to agendize that another time.
Correct.
I want to make that point. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? May I have a motion, please? Sounds like there needs to be some discussion because I hear silence. You know, I think this young man has kind of shown a little bit of his history since this incident. And again, how long has that been?
2013, sir.
Okay, so we've got 7 years since this incident, and I think some of his work history is worthy of mention again. So, and any discussion? Did I hear someone want to say something?
Mr. Chair, Sheriff Mark Daniels, my issue and my question, and I guess my hesitation, is this sale. Have we gave waivers or have we ever given a waiver on a sale? Those 7 years, and you make good points, Mr. Chair, but I think that's what the hesitation is on this case is.
Understood.
Okay. Mark Brachtel, post staff did a historical search. And there have been instances when sale of marijuana has been presented through petition, and the board has granted it. Each case is unique. Each case is fact-intensive. Then there have been other cases when the board has not. I don't know if that answers your question.
It does, and that clears it up for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Sheriff. Is there any other comments or questions from the board? Motion is still being asked for.
Mr. Chair, I'll make the motion to get to the answer. Based upon the information submitted by Arizona Game and Fish Department and pursuant to Rule 13-4-103G, I move that the board grant the request for waiver on applicant Ryan Stasky.
John Bischoff, second.
I have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Those opposed?
Mr. Chairman, Matt Medina, I oppose.
Okay, let that be noted. Thank you, Mr. Medina, Officer Medina. And with that, the motion does carry. Thank you at Game and Fish.
Thank you all very much for your time.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, we are going to move on to K, Mr. Bractel, Tohono O'odham.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a petition by the Tohono O'odham Nation Police Department on applicant Ms. Duarte. It was learned during the hiring process that in 2016 she possessed a medical marijuana card. And at that time, she consumed two edible marijuana products, two gummies, in November 2016. Under Arizona law, it is lawful to possess a medical marijuana card and to consume marijuana under a prescription. And under a state Supreme Court case in 2019, it was clarified that consuming edibles with a medical marijuana card is lawful under the in Arizona, under Arizona law. The analysis, however, nonetheless proceeds in front of the board under Rule 103G. And in your board communication, I provide a little bit more background law on how federal law, the Federal Gun Control Act, does weigh into the board's analysis under certain circumstances. So, for instance, had this candidate actually still possessed a medical marijuana card to this day, that applicant would be prohibited from carrying a firearm and therefore could not be appointed. But, however, in this case, the medical marijuana card she no longer possesses it. I believe that the XO is present and can clarify for the board that information is when did the medical marijuana card, when was it given up, and some other background info.
Thank you, Mr. Bractel. Someone from Tohono O'odham.
Good morning, everyone. This is Chief Alton Begay.
Hello, Chief. Please go right ahead.
Okay. Thank you, board, and everyone else giving us this opportunity. Mrs. Aurelia Duarte, she canceled the card back in May 2017. So the reason for the medical marijuana card she initially came was due to some migraine headache. And so because of her bad reaction, she only ingested two gummies and therefore stopped taking them. Ms. Aurelia Duarte, you know, she's very professional and held initiative to be in this profession. She has extensive years, about over 7 years of banking, as well as a associate in criminal justice. And so right now she's currently in the fourth week at the Southeast Arizona Law Enforcement Training Academy in Douglas, and she's doing very well. She has not failed any examinations up to this point, and I'm wishing the best throughout, but at the same time, you know, hearing great things from the faculty and the staff at the academy. So, but that was one of the things that she had disclosed in her initial background to our investigators, that for that reason, and therefore we're bringing it to the board to get the rule for Mrs. Duarte, because definitely she is an asset, not only for our police department, but for our tribe as well. And to also add one last thing, that because of this rule, definitely it is not a disqualification under the Bureau of Indian Affairs.
Thank you, sir. Any comments or questions? Or yes?
I don't mean to prolong this meeting, but we've got to navigate some different waters here. So I understand everything the Chief said and have no disagreement with anything the Chief has said. But now we have a nuance of a medical marijuana card not being able, under federal law, to carry weapons, right?
Possess, carry, firearm.
Okay. And so how many years prior to applying for police work do we as a board say, okay, you can't have a medical marijuana card? Now, it could be 2 years because it's 2 years since last time you used marijuana, but that's another thing we have to navigate around, in the fact that, you know, this person would not be eligible to be a police officer, gave the card up 4 years ago, and now can become a police officer. So what's the right number there? Is it going to be 2 years? Is it going to be longer than 2 years? So this is, again, carrying a weapon. So
thank you, Chief. I think the appropriate analysis would be to focus on what was consumed. And in this case, what was consumed within the last 7 years, that's the minimum qualification standard that should be analyzed today for the board. And as far as the medical marijuana card and the reasons for it, that'll be covered if and when this candidate is appointed during the medical evaluation side of this. When a physician is going to be asking that and inquires the medical history of the applicant and whether there is a medical condition that can be reasonably accommodated under the ADA without a medical marijuana card through other prescription medication that's lawful. So I think all those underlying issues about the possession of the medical marijuana card will be addressed through some other avenues. There is no case law, there is no Ninth Circuit case or that I found that has addressed your other question about what about just possessing a medical marijuana card in the past. Hasn't been done. The cases from the Ninth Circuit are if you currently possess a card, you cannot possess a firearm under the federal law.
So your argument could be, I haven't used marijuana for 4 years. I got rid of my card yesterday, so I applied for police work today. And we wouldn't look at the possession of the card. We'd look at the last use.
I believe that that's the appropriate analysis with the caveat that the board has to weigh what is in the best interest of the public. And so that's a factor for, I think, board members to discuss out loud, is how recently was the medical marijuana card canceled. I think that's just part of the analysis for the board. But to really focus on what were the, what kind of marijuana and what was the marijuana, what was the consumption of the marijuana. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
You bet. Any other comments or questions? Having none, may I have a motion, please?
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion. Based upon the information submitted by the Tohono O'odham Nation Police Department and pursuant to Rule 13-4-103G, I move the board grant the request for waiver on applicant Ariella Duarte.
I have a motion. Is there a second?
Mark Daniels, second.
Thank you, Sheriff. I have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And the motion carries. Oh, I heard a nay. Who was that?
Mr. Chairman, it's Officer Medina. Some nay.
Okay, Officer Medina. Thank you, sir. We will so note, and we're going to be the motion carries, and we're going to move ahead. L. With Sedona Police has been pulled, so we're going to move into final action cases, starting with case number 18-101. Mr. Brachtel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is an administrative law judge decision, which that is in front of you, involving Officer Curley. Officer Curley is currently employed as a police officer with the Navajo Division of Public Safety. The decision is attached to the board packet. Presumably everyone has had an opportunity to review it. Post staff recommends that you accept the findings of fact and the conclusions of law of the administrative law judge and that Officer Curley's certification be revoked. Brief historical background. The board charged on this case in September of 2018. The administrative law judge hearing was held in June of 2020. I was your advocate for that case. The evidence was presented, and the judge, administrative judges concluded that Officer Curley provided different information regarding his marijuana use on different personal history statements submitted to different agencies. On page 7 of the judge's administrative decision, paragraph 6 of page 7, the judge does a pithy, P-I-T-H-Y job, a succinct job of summarizing the facts and the law. The judge concluded that the misconduct did occur under A2, A8, and A12, and that his conduct constituted cause for disciplining his certification under your rules, under those sections. And so, again, in conclusion, post staff recommends that you accept the findings of fact and the conclusions of law and revoke Officer Curley's certification.
Comments or questions?
This is Ann Froge on the phone. Is Officer Curley present?
Doesn't appear so.
Okay. And I'm only asking because he would have the opportunity to make a statement as well if he's present.
Mark Brachtel with the Attorney General's office. Post staff has informed me that they reached out to communicate with Officer Curley the opportunity to appear and present, and that has been done.
Thank you.
Good question. Any other comments or questions from the board?
Ready to make a motion.
And I ask for a motion, Mr. Robbo, Chief Robbo.
I move to accept the administrative law judge's findings of fact and conclusions of law and revoke peace officer certification.
This is Ann Froge again. I'm going to ask that we do three separate motions. We need a motion first on the findings of fact, and then a motion on the conclusions of law, and then ultimately a decision on the order.
Mr. Brachtel, comments?
Your Honor, I'm the advocate in the case. I will defer to the independent advisor on the matter.
Okay, I thought you had a question or something you wanted to say, but okay, that's fine.
Okay.
And
I'll amend my motion. I move to accept the administrative law judge's findings of fact. Conclusions of law? That's the second. Findings
Bishop
of fact.
Second. Is that?
Yeah, I just.
Okay.
Findings of fact. Okay. And I'll second.
Okay. We have a motion second. Further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And we'll move on to the next motion.
Chief Rodbell, I have a second motion. I move to accept the administrative law judge's conclusions of law.
Don Bischoff, second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And one more.
Chief Rodbell, I move to revoke peace officer certification.
Don Bischoff, second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all very much. And we'll move on to number two, Mr. Brachtel, 19-231.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The parties, post staff and respondent through his attorney, Cassidy Bacon, offer the attached consent agreement for your review and consideration. The respondent is a former Phoenix police officer. He was terminated by his organization in October 2019. I will refer the board to the overview and I will just review from the case summary. The Phoenix Police Department found Detective Swick violated department policy when he posted 13 Facebook photos between June 2015 and August 2015 that were determined to be inappropriate for the Phoenix police officer to write. It wasn't until 2019 that these postings received national and local media attention. The respondents' Facebook postings contained themes promoting violence against segments of society, negative racial content, and anti-Muslim sentiment. The parties are willing to stipulate that his conduct did violate post rules. That is in the proposed consent agreement. on page 2 of the consent agreement, at the bottom of the page, paragraph 3, the parties agree that the board may impose a one-year suspension of certification beginning on October 25th, 2019, and ending on October 25th, 2020. This discipline is within the range for similarly situated officers in other cases, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Brachtel. Any questions, comments?
I believe that Ms. Bacon is may be present.
Ms. Bacon, are you present for comment?
Hey, good morning. I'm here on behalf of Clinton Swick. I'm more than happy to answer any questions that the board has about this case. Obviously, there is a lot more to this case than can be summarized in an overview. So if the board does have any questions or concerns, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you very much. Any comments, concerns, questions? Having none, may I have a motion?
Mark Daniels, I'll make a motion to accept the proposed consent agreement for a one-year suspension of peace officer certification beginning October 25, 2019. And ending October 25th, 2020.
Don Bischoff, second.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the motion?
Mr. Chairman, this is Andy.
Yes, sir, Andy.
I'm not going to disagree with this consent agreement because it seems to bring some certainty to this situation. But I do have some concerns about how we as a board are going to deal with cases like this in the future, especially dealing with First Amendment rights and whatnot. But I just wanted to bring that up, and I don't know if that's a conversation for a future board meeting or, you know, at what point are we going to become the thought police for this. But I just wanted to make that comment that I do have concerns, although I will support this since both parties agreed to it.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Brachtel, do you have a comment?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. This is Mark Brachtel. Just in preparation for today's this presentation and for future ones, it's my interpretation of the law that racially or sexually derogatory speech by police officers is generally not protected speech. And that's where you start with in your analysis when you're with the government and go from there. So what I view this case is that the content of the speech was not protected speech, and but that has certainly warranted the proposed discipline. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Anything else? And did we take a motion? What's that?
You have a motion.
Yeah. Okay. All those in favor of the
aye.
Motion?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
And the motion carries. Thank you all very much. We'll move on to number 3, 19-182, Mr. Brachtel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The parties, post staff and respondent Andrew Bates, through his attorney, Ms. Bailey, offer the attached consent agreement for your review and your consideration. The respondent, Andrew Bates, is a former sergeant with the Gilbert Police Department. He was terminated by the Gilbert Police Department in October of 2019. This is a case involving a series of egregious violations regarding personal and vehicle information. The parties propose a 14-month suspension. It is set forth on page 3 of the consent agreement, and specifically, the parties propose that the board impose a 14-month suspension of certification beginning from October 16th, 2019, and ending on December 16th, 2020. This kind of discipline is within the range of similarly situated misconduct, Mr. Chairman.
Questions, comments? May I have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I'll make a motion. Alan Roddell. I move to accept the proposed consent agreement for 14-month suspension of peace officer certification beginning on October 16th, 2019, and ending on December 16th, 2020.
Don Bischoff, second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
And the motion carries. We're going to move on to number 4, 19-092, but I'm going to take a phone call, so I'm going to ask if Chief Rodbell will handle this case for me. I think we still have a quorum.
We do, that's correct.
Okay, I'll be right back.
Case number 19-092, Ms. Heckle.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Arlene Heckle, one of your compliance specialists. Just a brief overview on this case. Officer Fairburn was employed by the Gila River Police Department from October 2010 to July 2019. On June 17, 2019, Ms. L.R. contacted the Gila River Police Department and advised she had been having a sexual relationship with Officer Fairburn. She advised she had met Officer Fairburn while she was working at the Casablanca Market, and he was on duty as an officer for Gila River Police Department. Ms. L.R. stated that between January of 2018 and June of 2019, she and Officer Fairburn had engaged in sexual intercourse or oral sexual contact approximately 40 times. Officer Fairburn would be in full uniform and driving his patrol vehicle. He would advise where he was located, and she would drive her vehicle and meet him in an isolated location. She remembered specific dates and times. The sexual conduct would occur in her vehicle. She had saved over 3,000 messages between the two of them that discussed when and where they were going to meet and then the activities that they had engaged in. Their relationship ended when his girlfriend read the text messages and confronted Ms. L.R. On June 20th, Officer Fairburn was interviewed by Internal Affairs. He first advised he was just friends with Ms. L.R. and denied any other type of relationship. However, after being confronted with all of the text messages, he admitted that there was sexual intercourse and oral sexual conduct. He couldn't remember specific dates or times, but estimated a minimum of 20 times. He did say the activity occurred while he was on duty and in full uniform, but not in his patrol vehicle. Gila River PD sustained allegations of employee misconduct, sex on duty, and dishonesty. Officer Fairburn resigned from the Gila River Police Department on July 10, 2019. The board voted to initiate proceedings on May 20th, 2020. I have mailed letters to three different addresses. The final address, the letters were not returned. I have tried to contact Mr. Fairburn by the phone number that he had during the internal affairs case, and he has not returned any phone calls. He has not contacted Arizona Post or any staff members here to request a hearing. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends that the board revoke peace officer certification, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions from Ms. Henkel? Hearing none, Chair will entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to accept the findings of fact, conclusion of law, and impose a sanction of revocation.
Andrew LaFever, I'll second.
Has been made and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Those opposed say nay. Motion carries. Chair, back.
Okay, and we're on four or
five? We're just on five.
Five.
Okay, so we're on number
219.
Okay. Number 6, 19-202. Mr. Jacobs.
No, 5. 219.
Wait a minute. I thought you just did 5.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, we just finished 4.
We're on 5.
Okay, we're on 5. 19-219, Mr. Jacobs.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the board, Steve Jacobs, compliance specialist with Arizona Post. This is a final action case involving a former Department of Public Office Safety Officer, Stephen LeContage. During June of 2019, it was discovered that Trooper LeConte was not completing field sobriety test as had been directed by the district commander. When questioned by his supervisor, Trooper LeConte informed him that he was aware of the policy and had been submitting all his investigative citations and reports as required by policy. When questioned by his district commander, concerning the same issue, he likewise reported submitting all of his reports as required, and by doing so by U.S. mail. This is up in northeastern Arizona, so it was in a remote area. An investigation in the matter discovered that Trooper LeConte had failed to submit any reports since being assigned to the Northeastern District. He was assigned there in April of 2019. The investigation began in June. And that he had been dishonest with his supervisor and district commander. Trooper LeConte was terminated. A notice of complaint was sent to Trooper LeConte by both regular and certified mail. Because of our change in address, I think our certified card did not come back through the mail. However, a record of USPS tracking shows that on April 27th of 2020, the certified mail was delivered to the occupant of the resident. Likewise, the notice of complaint that was sent by regular mail was not returned. Based on facts of this case, staff recommends that the board revoke police officer service.
Questions or comments? May I have
Ken Hunter?
Yes, please.
Recused himself.
Okay, I didn't hear that. All right, so noted. And may I have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion. Don Bischoff. Based on the facts presented in this case, I move that the board revoke peace officer certification.
Mark Daniels.
I have a motion and a second by Sheriff Daniels. Any further discussion on the motion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And those opposed? Motion carries. We're going to be moving on to case number 19-202. Mr. Jacobs.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the board. This involves a former Tucson Airport Authority police officer, Jason Ryan, who between February 1st of 2011 and June 11th of 2019 committed multiple acts of domestic violence. Specifically, on September 7th of 2011, Officer Ryan entered into a deferred prosecution for two acts of domestic violence, one an assault occurring during February of 2011 and one involving criminal damage that occurred in March 2011. Following the adjudication of this matter, the wife that was involved in this incident and Officer Ryan divorced. He shortly remarried another woman after that, and then excuse me. I'm sorry, I choked. On June 11th, 2019, his current wife served an order of protection. Excuse me, I got to get some water.
Steve, right here.
I apologize.
It's all right.
On June 11th of 2019, Officer Ryan's wife served him an order of protection. And during the investigation that followed, it was discovered that Officer Ryan had, on unknown dates during 2013, committed aggravated assault by putting a gun to his wife's head, committed assault against his wife when he threw tobacco spit in her face, and committed harassment when, after being told not to make contact with her, he continued to text and phone her repeatedly. This was all discovered and supported through multiple text messages and phone recordings that the wife had kept on file. It was also determined during that investigation that Officer Ryan had been dishonest, not only regarding the current event, but also regarding the event with his first wife, where he had denied any being involved in any domestic violence issues. Officer Ryan was terminated from the Tucson Airport Authority, and on April 21st, a notice of complaint was sent to him from this department, both by certified mail and regular mail. On April 23rd, Officer Ryan signed for the certified complaint and to date has made no contact with Arizona Post. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board revoke peace officer certification.
Comments or questions for Mr. Jacobs? May I have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I'll make a motion. Don Bischoff, based on the facts presented in this case, I move the board revoke peace officer certification.
Tom Rodwell seconds.
Motion second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And the motion carries. That will end our final action cases. Thank you, Mr. Jacobs. And we're moving on to new cases. Mr. Jacobs.
Which I have the first new case.
You do. 20069.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the board. This involves a former police officer, Nathan Holliday. Earlier this year, Nathan Holliday made application as a lateral officer for the Arizona Department of Public Safety. And during the background investigation by the Department of Public Safety that followed his application, it was found that he had either throughout the years omitted information in previous background investigations or provided non-factual information. Post gathered many applications that had in background investigations that had completed over the last 3 years, and it was including a one from 2006, which the first application that he submitted, which was to the Phoenix Police Department. During 2006, Officer Holliday made application to the Phoenix Police Department, and during that background process, he admitted to having smoked marijuana on five occasions, all during just a six-month period of 2004 when he was 19 years of age. He was not appointed by the Phoenix Police Department because his marijuana use was within that three-year window. When completing multiple applications subsequent to the Phoenix application, Officer Holliday changed his marijuana use and claimed to have only used marijuana three times. But instead of just being within a six-month year period when he was 19, the use of marijuana was from a range of 2004 to 2006, with one of the uses occurring after the age of 21. Also during his application with the Phoenix Police Department, he admitted to having purchased marijuana on one occasion. Although during that background investigation he denied using the marijuana he purchased, he admitted that he had given it to someone else for their personal use. During subsequent applications, when asked had he ever purchased marijuana or ever had he ever provided marijuana to others, he denied such activity. During 2006, on his Phoenix application, Officer Holliday also admitted to one workplace violence situation where during an argument with a co-worker, he became engaged in a physical altercation. However, in all of his subsequent applications for certification, he denied having ever been involved in any workplace violence or workplace altercation or confrontation. Also during the 2006 application with Phoenix during the polygraph examination, he admitted during that examination to having illegally used soma that had been transported across the border from Mexico. He claimed that one use occurred in 2005. Also, being within the seven-year window from his application with the Phoenix Police Department was also a contributing factor to his being denied appointment with that department. Subsequent to that, he has made multiple applications throughout the years. And most of those applications, he has denied soma use. He did so when he was appointed by the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office, and he was appointed while he was still within 7 years of using marijuana, of soma. He also denied using soma when he made his application with his current department at Pinetop Lakeside Police Department. On an application with the Scottsdale Police Department during a polygraph examination, Officer Holliday admitted that his marijuana use actually had not occurred in 2005. It had occurred in 2007. Are there any questions? Excuse me. In similar circumstances, the board has initially initiated on cases with these facts.
Questions? Not even questions, but a comment. I think this is kind of the poster child example of why Post needs to take the action that we are with the personal history forms and trying to keep this information current and easily available for other agencies in the state.
Yeah, exactly. And that was really the impetus. Not this specific case, but these certain set of circumstances, the impetus for us doing that. It became increasingly more difficult as we had people applying over multiple years, whether it was just an oversight or was an intentional attempted deception. So, again, we think our personal history form that we're testing now that we hope to have out before the end of the year will almost eliminate this completely.
Thank you for the comment. Any other questions, comments? May I have a motion?
Mr. Chair, Alan Rodbell, I make a motion we initiate proceedings.
Don Bischoff, second.
Motion and a second. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We're moving on to number 20-004. Mr. Tepork, morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Dave Tepork, one of your compliance specialists. Former City of Goodyear Officer Kyle Clough was untruthful in responding to Deputy Chief Justin Hughes during pre-Garrity questioning about whether Clough had spoken with a civilian co-worker concerning a conversation that was discussed in a patrol briefing earlier that day. On October 2, 2019, the issue of an improper license plate being used on a Goodyear Police Department undercover vehicle came up in a patrol briefing as the vehicle had been stopped by a Goodyear PD officer the night before. Deputy Hughes was looking into the matter when he became aware the police chief, Geyer, was conducting inquiries into the incident. There was the concern that the chain of command had not been followed concerning the license plate information, and that is how the chief of police was aware so quickly. It was assumed that either Clough or a civilian employee, Ms. S.P., had spoken with Chief Geyer. Deputy Chief Hughes contacted Clough by telephone and during the conversation asked him, "Did you call Ms. S.P. after your briefing and talk to her about the issue with the NET team using an unauthorized plate on the vehicle?" Clough did not verbally respond but made the sound of mm-hmm, indicating that he was saying no. In order to clarify what Clough was saying, Deputy Chief Hughes asked Kyle, "Did you contact Ms. S.P. after your briefing today and talk to her about the license plate issue with the net van?" Clough responded by saying, "Not that I remember." When challenged on how he could not remember making a phone call to a specific person within the last hour, Clough said that not remembering sounded bad, and he stated that he did not call Ms. S.P. after the briefing and had not talked to her about the license plate issue with the net van. Deputy Chief Hughes then told Clough to come to his office so they could discuss it further. Later, when summoned to Hughes' office, Hughes asked Clough if he had spoken with Ms. S.P. after his patrol briefing today, specifically about the net van license plate issue. Clough said that he had talked with Ms. S.P. several times today about various other matters, but did not answer the question. Hughes told Clough that he asked him a specific question about talking with Ms. S.P. about the license plate issue, but he did not answer the question. Hughes then asked Clough, "Did you contact Ms. S.P. about the license plate issue with the van after briefing?" Clough paused a few seconds, then said no. After additional conversation in which Clough denied speaking to Ms. S.P., Hughes asked Clough, "Kyle, at any time during or after your patrol briefing today, did you have any contact with Ms. S.P.? Via telephone or text message, either on your personal or work phone, in regards to the license plate issue brought up in your patrol briefing today?" Clough responded by saying no and reiterated that he did not have any contact with her after 11 a.m. when he talked to her in the morning and did not have any conversations regarding the license plate. Both the telephone and in-office conversations were pre-Garrity. During post-Garrity interviews, by an independent investigator, Clough admitted to being deceptive and stated, "I was untruthful in my answers," when referring to his questioning by Deputy Chief Hughes. The independent excuse me, the independent investigation resulted in sustained policy violations of both city and departmental policies against Club for Dishonesty. The investigation by the independent outside investigator outlined mitigating factors concerning Club being untruthful. This included the statement by the investigator, "We recognize that different interviewers have different styles, but we must point out that the aggressiveness of Hughes's interrogation of Clough seemed disproportionate in comparison to the relatively minor issue of who told Chief Geyer about the van's unauthorized plates. To that extent, while we do not believe Clough was intimidated, it was an inappropriately intense interrogation given the comparative insignificance of the issue at hand. As both Ms. S.P. and Deputy Chief Rodriguez commented, Hughes was on a mission, and that mission appears to be to catch Clough in a lie, which is a violation of policy. On January 9, 2020, Clough resigned from the Goodyear Police Department prior to the imposition of any discipline by the police department. Clough was allowed to resign by the city of Goodyear and reassigned to another position within the city. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends that the board take no action with agency discretion.
Thank you, sir. Comments, questions? Having none, may I have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion. Don Bischoff, based on the facts presented in this case, I move the board take no action and defer to agency discretion.
I have a motion. Is there a second? I think everybody's on mute.
Are they still there?
Yeah, they're still there.
Okay.
Purpose of moving forward, I'll second.
Okay. I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
I think they're trying.
Yeah, I think it's all on mute or something. Hey, Andy, can you hear me? Close.
Can anybody hear?
Sheriff Danels?
You can wave at us.
Wave at us.
I don't think they can hear us.
Are we?
No. There's no general.
Oh, okay.
Is this something to do with the video you're preloading?
I don't know anything about the technology part of it. We got their picture. We can raise hands.
He didn't hear you ask for a great wave.
But nobody waved when you asked him to.
See if Andy can wave.
Hey, Andy, can you hear us? Wave, okay.
Okay.
They can hear us.
Mr. Chairman, you want to take a short break while we figure out the technology issue?
We're going to take 5 minutes. We have a motion standing, and we'll be back for that shortly once we get this fixed.
Okay.
Great. Yeah. I think with the delay there and request from Mr. Brachtel, we're going to go ahead and ask for another motion on this, and just to confirm, it's 19215.
And Sheriff, if I
could, sir.
Can we just do a quick roll call just for the technology, just to make sure everyone's still there?
Absolutely. Let's do that first, if someone wants to call the names out.
I'll do that.
Thank you.
Captain Bischoff's in the room. Sheriff Danels, can you hear us?
He's
on there twice.
Sheriff Danels, can you hear us?
He's up twice.
We can see him in stereo, but we can't hear him at all.
He looks like he's muted still on that Google Meet.
He can hear with a thumbs up, so maybe we can do a hands if we can get everybody up there on a picture.
Let's try everyone else real quick. Miss Kelly, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Ooh.
Thank you. Mr. Johnson, can you hear us?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Lefevre.
Like he's having a conversation with someone.
Officer Medina, can you hear us?
I can hear you, Matt.
Thank you, sir. Deputy Director Hunter?
Yes, sir. I'm
here. Chief Rodwell's in the room. Miss Director Shin?
Yes, I'm here, Matt.
Great. Thank you, sir. We're good. The only one we couldn't hear from was Sheriff Daniels.
And he can hear us because he's giving us a thumbs up. And so, okay, we're going to go back to a motion on 19215.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I don't know if it's my place or not, but I have it as case number 2020-04.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm one below that. All right. Mr. Clough, we're still on that one. All right. This will be a motion for case number 20004. And may I have a motion in reference to that case?
Mr. Chairman, I'll restate my motion. Don Bischoff, based on the facts presented in this case, I move that the board take no action and defer to agency discretion.
Alan Rodwell seconds.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Those opposed? And the motion carries. Thank you all very much. Now we'll be moving on to 19-215. Mr. Sporek.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. On August 22, 2019, former Yuma Police Department officer Chad Cunningham and an officer in training conducted a traffic stop on a vehicle for an inoperable headlight. The stop resulted in the arrest of the driver, Mr. M.A., for DUI. The suspect was transported to the Yuma Police Department. Video of the Sallyport area and the rear seat of the patrol car showed that after arriving at the police department, the officer in training opens the door of the patrol car, unbuckles the seatbelt of the handcuffed prisoner, and asks him to get out. The prisoner responds by asking why. A short discussion occurred, and Cunningham can be seen walking over to the door of the patrol vehicle. The officer in training tells the suspect that they will just take him to jail and begins to buckle the prisoner's seatbelt. The suspect then starts to slide to be able to get out of the vehicle and states that he will get out by his own free will, and the officer in training allows him to get out. Cunningham then engages the suspect in a conversation explaining, things are going to happen the way I tell you to do them. When questioned by the suspect, Cunningham threatens to add additional criminal charges for failing to obey his lawful order. The suspect continues the discussion with Cunningham, who told the suspect to get back in the vehicle. Cunningham then seats the suspect back in the patrol vehicle, though his left leg is still outside of the vehicle. The suspect then turns in the doorway and says, let's do this, in an apparent attempt to get out of the vehicle. As the suspect appears to try to get out of the vehicle and continue the conversation, Cunningham tried to close the door, but the suspect's leg was still outside of the vehicle and preventing the door from closing. After pushing on the door and not getting it to close, Cunningham opens the door and delivers a kick to the chest of the handcuffed suspect. The suspect continues to argue with the officers and keeps his leg outside of the vehicle. Cunningham then warns the suspect to get back into the car where he is going to get OC sprayed. This warning is also repeated by the officer in training. And approximately 2 to 3 seconds later, the OC spray is deployed on the suspect. Cunningham, who is still holding the door, tells the suspect to put his foot inside, which the suspect finally does. The suspect is kept in the confined area of the back seat of the vehicle for approximately 6 minutes until the Yuma Fire Department arrives. And we'll now show you a video of the incident.
Detaining me?
Yeah.
I'm under arrest, to be sure.
We'll just go straight to jail.
You
want to step out?
I will step out. By my own people.
Things are going to happen the way we tell you to do them. You understand?
Why?
Because we're giving you a lawful order. We're going to get an additional charge.
Okay.
We're going to be a lawful order.
Additional charge on what?
There's going to be a lawful order.
No.
Correct.
I follow all the rules.
Get back inside the car.
Get back inside the car.
Get back inside the car.
I'm listening to you. No, let's do this thing. Let's talk. Why are you being like this? Over what? A headlight? Over a headlight? Fuck you! Over what? A headlight?
Get inside the car right now.
Get back inside the car, you're gonna get OC sprayed.
You're gonna get sprayed, bro.
You don't know.
You guys are on another level. You guys are on another level, man. Over what? I had light. I'm not even drunk. I'm not being disrespectful. I've been honest with you both.
Get your foot inside the car. Get inside the car. Get your foot inside the car.
After the incident, Cunningham was dishonest in the official Yuma Police Department use of force form he authored, including his dishonest statement of his accounting of several of the events that led up to the use of force. These include, but are not limited to, and this is a paraphrase statement by Cunningham, the OIT moved into the door frame of the patrol car and leaned in to place the seatbelt back onto the suspect. Mr. M.A. suddenly kicked his feet out of the back seat and stood up quickly, getting in the OIT's face. The investigator's finding was the arbitrator video shows that Mr. M.A. turned his body towards the open door where the OIT was standing at normal speed. The OIT then said, "Do you want to step out?" And Mr. M.A. calmly replied, "I will step out by my own free will." The OIT then took a step back from the door and Mr. M.A. stood up slowly. In another paraphrase statement by Cunningham, "I quickly walked over to the OIT and informed Mr. M.A. that we were giving him a lawful order and he needed to comply with our commands. Mr. M.A. began to yell about the headlight. I informed Mr. M.A. that the OIT was giving him a lawful order and he may be charged additionally for failing to follow such orders. Mr. M.A. said no. I ordered Mr. M.A. back into the vehicle and told him that he was going to jail. Mr. M.A. said, "Let's do this," and got in my face and puffed his chest out in a fighting stance. I told Mr. M.A. calmly to get back into the vehicle and that he was going to jail. Mr. M.A. began to move towards a car that spun around and began to actively resist by kicking the doors as the OIT was closing it. The investigator's paraphrased findings are several parts of the Cunningham statement did not occur based on the video evidence. Mr. M.A. did say, "Let's do this," at one point in the video. But he, Mr. M.A., was sitting in the back seat of the police vehicle at the time with his feet outside of the car door and never got up from a sitting position to get into the face of Cunningham. Mr. M.A. did yell about the headlight, but he was in the back seat of the patrol vehicle with the door closed on his leg, and he appeared to open with his foot and appeared to open with his foot when it occurred, not standing outside the vehicle talking to Cunningham. And again, in the use of force report, Cunningham wrote, I opened the door one time and attempted to kick Mr. M.A.'s feet inside of the car and close the door, but he managed to kick the door again. Cunningham admitted to investigators that the statement in the use of force report was incorrect. Cunningham told investigators the only explanation he could think of was he was in a rush to finish the narrative. And he wrote, "attempted to kick the suspect's feet inside the car because the purpose of kicking him in the hips was to get his feet in the car." Criminal investigators submitted this case to the Yuma County Attorney's Office for possible charging. The case was presented to the grand jury requesting one count of aggravated assault, a class 4 felony, and one count of aggravated assault, a class 6 felony, on Cunningham. The grand jury chose not to issue an indictment. The case was also submitted to the City of Yuma Prosecutor's Office, who declined prosecution in this matter. On November 20, 2019, Cunningham resigned from the Yuma Police Department prior to the administering of discipline in this matter. Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends that the board initiate proceedings, and I would be happy to answer any questions if there are.
So this actually was just a civil traffic issue?
It was an inoperable headlight initially that's turned into a DUI investigation.
Okay. Any other comments, questions? Having none, may I have a motion?
Mark Townsend, make a motion to initiate proceedings.
I have a motion. Is there a second?
Alan Rodwell, seconds.
Motion and a second. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries, and we'll move on to the last case, 19229. Mr. Tapor.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, from January 2019 to May 2019, former City of Yuma police officer Martin Espinoza worked 21 Operation Stone Garden shifts. Operation Stone Garden is a federal grant which pays local law enforcement overtime to assist federal partners in the joint effort to secure international borders, 11 of which he signed up using the name of other officers. Espinoza admitted to signing up utilizing the other officers' names without their knowledge or consent, knowing they would not show up for those shifts. Espinoza would then show up to work those shifts, thereby attaining additional shifts exceeding the allowed 4 shifts per month allotted to officers without supervisory approval, according to Yuma Police Department policy. In subsequent interviews, Espinoza provided untruthful information concerning his knowledge of other officers' involvement in manipulating Operation Stone Garden schedules. This matter was originally started as a criminal investigation by the Yuma Police Department, but it was later determined that it would be handled as an internal administrative investigation. During a July 1, 2019, post-Garrity administrative interview, Espinoza was specifically asked to identify all other Yuma Police Department officers who were doing the same or similar scheme of using other officers' names to reserve Stone Garden slots. Espinoza only named one officer. This was later determined to be an untruthful statement, as Espinoza was aware of another officer, so a total of 2, that also signed up for Stone Guard shifts using a name other than his own. The administrative investigation determined that Espinoza committed policy violations for violations of rules and unbecoming conduct and given a 40-hour suspension. Because of potential discrepancies between the initial criminal investigative and administrative interviews conducted, a second administrative investigation was started in October of 2019. On October 25th, 2019, Espinoza submitted to a post-Garrity interview. In this interview, Espinoza was very specifically asked who else he was aware of that have signed up for Stone Garden shifts using the names of others. Espinoza indicated the one officer he mentioned in the July 1st, 2019 administrative interview, but qualified his answer saying, "I'm not sure if it was anything similar to what I did." When challenged, Espinoza admitted that the other officer did what Espinoza had been doing. At this point in the interview, Espinoza failed to identify Officer T.A. Espinoza would later reveal, later during the same interview, that Officer T.A. had signed up for Stone Garden using the name of others. Several times throughout the interview, Espinoza claimed that he wasn't aware if Officer T.A. had actually signed up using another officer's name and actually worked the shift himself. This was another untruthful statement, as Espinoza had worked a shift on May 22, 2019, that Officer T.A. had reserved using another officer's name. Again, on October 25, 2019, Espinoza submitted to a third post-Garrity interview to address discrepancies in both prior interviews. In this interview, Espinoza admitted that he was aware that Officer T.A. had signed up for Stone Garden shifts using the name of another officer, reiterated that he was not truthful about knowing what Officer that he was not truthful about knowing that Officer T.A. did not work the shift. When asked why he did not disclose Officer T.A. in the first interview and the full extent of the involvement of Officer T.A., Espinoza explained that he didn't want to get him in trouble. In addition, Espinoza explained that he had taught the two officers in the system that he had developed to reserve the slots in the name of other officers. On December 6, 2019, Espinoza tendered his immediate resignation prior to his employment being terminated by the Yuma Police Department. Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends that the board initiate proceedings, and I would be glad to answer any questions.
Questions? Having none, may I have a motion?
Mr. Chair, Alan Rodbell, I'll make a motion to initiate proceedings.
Don Bischoff, second.
Motion and a second. Discussion on the motion? Having none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And the motion carries. Thank you very much. And that ends our meeting for the day. There's no future agenda items?
The only on the list here is the use of force. I will agendize that in a future meeting when we have some additional information to present from the pilot program that began August 1st. And I'm happy to put on the future agenda items, anything that the board would like to discuss.
Nothing on the card or
No, I think
answered it with the time frame. Okay. All right.
Thank you, everyone, for being here.
Thank you all very much. And again, welcome.
Thank you.
You bet. Good to have you. Thank you, everybody.